following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't just save you money.
Oh, no.
For a limited time, we're rolling out new Advance Double Deals. Always two products, always one low price. Like now, get a two for $5 deal on Tough Stuff Multi-Purpose Cleaner. Plus, other great deals throughout the store. It's simple. We roll out the double deals, you roll out of Advance with more money. Either way, you're on a roll, baby. Double deals, only at
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
You know that feeling. 2:30 in the afternoon, a lot to do, and you hit the wall. You're tired and groggy, but you gotta get stuff done. So take a 5-hour energy. Just open it up, knock it back, and roll up your sleeves. 5-hour energy is faster and easier than coffee, and man, does it work. You'll get the alert, energized feeling you need to get stuff done. A lot of stuff. 5-hour energy. When you gotta get stuff done.
We're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of Husker Online.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Friday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda, Jim Langan on this Friday. Oh, all week people were asking, how's your bracket doing? I said, you know, I'm okay. You know, to the everybody's supposed to say, oh, it's over. It's over. It's done.
You're dead now.
It's over. Yeah, it's done. Indiana. Wow. There was some bad basketball last night. And again, I know that my team lost. I get that. The Indiana, that's who I picked. You, on the other hand, looking good. You're 37th in our bracket challenge right now. I'm 100 and something.
Yeah, I've got a long way to go here, you know, but I'll tell you what, there's that Marquette was really helped me out. And then I think Syracuse, a lot of people probably use them, but it's still hard when you pick a 3 and 4 to get to the, you know, to your Sweet 16 and they came in. So, you know, that was anybody that did that yesterday got help quite a bit. Anybody that's got that 3 and 4. Don't we have somebody around here that's in second place that we know really well?
Oh, God. Ex-producer Merritt is in second place. KM Hartman is the leader and has Ohio State as their national champion. So KM Hartman going into today's game, the leader with 59 points. Happy Gilmore's in second, but has Louisville and doesn't have a whole lot else. It also shows you your maximum points, what's left. And so KM Hartman looking pretty good. Merritt picks Kansas to win the national championship. We will never hear the end of that. Of course, ineligible for the grand prize of the 50-inch LG TV from Russell's Appliance. But right now, KM Hartman looking good. And if Ohio State continues to hit buzzer beaters, going to be in good shape. And best of luck to all those that are still in contention. But there's no doubt that with Indiana and Miami both going out last night, that's going to affect a lot of brackets. And coming up on the show today, we'll we've rescheduled. Jan Levine had some car troubles yesterday, our fantasy baseball guy, and so that's why we couldn't make contact. He is scheduled to join us again at the bottom of the hour. So, again, if you've got some fantasy baseball questions, the season begins Sunday night with Texas and Houston here on ESPN. The Royals open up with the White Sox, and everybody gets going sometime early next week. So email or Facebook us your questions. We'll also talk with Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com for our TNL recruiting update, and Steve Anderson, track announcer at Fodder Park. The Runs of Stakes is set for tomorrow, and we'll get the latest doings on what's going on there. Did you just sit and watch the games last night, or did you just kind of have them on in the background?
Well, I needed Marquette, you know, for a lot of different reasons. Just because, you know, like, you can go down the show and brag about it, or, you know, I did go to Vegas a couple of weeks ago, too. But when they got about a 12-point lead, you know, I took off and just changed the channel real quick and started to watch everything else, but they kept that. So, but other than that, I mean, I wanted them to win. You know, but I watched the games, and, you know, I'll tell you what, I kind of felt like the Big East kind of made a little statement last night. You know, maybe not everybody else did, but I, you know, they lost some early games, but, you know, they really dominated those games last night. There was no doubt who had the best two teams.
Yeah, and we talked about this last week when it came out. I was scared about the Syracuse game. I said, why is Syracuse a four seed? They'd been number one. Yeah, they struggled a little bit down the end. You got Jim Boeheim. He's even though Tom Crean's a good coach, he's more experienced. And Syracuse now maybe has the road paved, who knows, all the way to the national championship game. There was a graphic up today that when Syracuse has beaten a number one team, it's only happened three times in the program's history. Well, one of the reasons is usually they're the one of the two. They won the national championship in 2003, and they made the finals back in 87 when they've beaten a number one team in the bracket. But I guess I'm going to have to be this guy today. And I want to preface this by saying, you know what? It didn't make a difference in the outcome of the game. And I hate to harp and be that fan guy on officials. I know I had Indiana, and I know it wasn't going to affect the game. So I want to throw that out right now. So, whether it was Indiana or whether it was Syracuse, I thought that was the worst officiated game I've seen in the tournament so far this year. I mean, even the TV guys who are never controversial and hardly ever show the replays, when they're pointing out that there are just bad no calls or bad calls, you know there's something wrong. So be interested to see what happens to this officiating crew from last night. Big time game, and they sucked.
You know what? Sometimes when you officiate a game, what happens is you're running down the floor and your partner lets something go, okay? And so he lets something go, and you go, man, I'll tell you what, that was pretty hard. I mean, you know, boy, you know, we want to make sure we call this game at both sides of the floor the same way. And there's also that time where you go, hold it, we missed that one. We got to make sure everybody understands that we've got to call it this way. And they probably didn't do a very good job of adjusting to that because it got real physical.
Yes.
Guys were going to the hole and getting hammered. Next time, you know, somebody be going in for a layup. You know, the game last night, I believe it was Arizona came down and hit a layup, and they called a three-point play on that. I don't know if you saw that play, but that guy didn't move. The guy that went back on defense, he didn't do a thing.
Yep.
And that could have affected the game. And then also, there was 2 seconds to go in the game, and a guy hit a three easily. They're out of timeouts. Arizona is out of timeouts. The clock stopped, so there's 2 seconds to go. If they're going to review this, the guy's like 9 feet behind the three-point line, and they added 0.1 seconds. Okay, so you're talking about being critical of the referees. That I was a little more critical. Those calls are really important at the end.
Totally agree, because while you're screwing around over there looking at the clock, Arizona's getting a free timeout to set up their inbounds play.
And maybe even this, not only that, in that situation, it's kind of unfair to Arizona because they probably talked about maybe what they were going to do with 2 seconds to go. What does it do with the defense? They gets them plenty of time. You just hit a three. Everybody's going to the offensive board, all kinds of things. And now all of a sudden, now you got to find a guy. And maybe somebody could have got loose at half court, pulled one dribble, and took a 40-footer. Now you get to set up your defense. So both sides, I don't think the game should be stopped in that incident. I just think it should not be stopped. If, you know, Ohio State wants to call timeout and they had one to set up their defense, that's fine, but not to be stopped for a review. What was the review about?
You have to now expect, Jimmy, and as a coach, you have to expect that if that situation happens, they will always go to the clock. They will. I mean, if they did it last night and last week in the tournament, there was one that was grossly off, and they put almost like a second and a half or 2.5 seconds back on the clock, took it from like 3 seconds to 5.5 or something like that. And it's really important. When you get to that 0.3, if you're under a second where the rule says you can't shoot the ball in 0.3 or less, it has to be a tip-in. Well, if you're throwing it full court, you can't. There's just no way. So that, I can see, is important. But now, I mean, every time now that a shot goes in on the last possession or what would now be the next-to-last possession of a game, they're always going to go look. They don't even do that in the NBA.
Yeah,
of course, they don't do it in the NBA because the teams always have 100 timeouts.
Well, in the NBA, I think they do a good job because there's been some games where it's been real critical. And when I officiate, I there are times where you just don't know for sure. So you don't blow your whistle. You know, you're so close, you don't know, so you just don't blow your whistle. But when the ball goes out of bounds, you have to make a decision on who touched it. And I would love to go to instant replay sometimes to find out whose finger that really nicked last. And the NBA will do that. Yep. You know, the NBA does. They'll go back and look at that. NCAA, that's something they can't look at.
Yeah, and they missed a couple last
night. They did. They really did. I thought so. But, you know, I will say this. I thought the officiating in the – other than in the Ohio State game – and Arizona game, I thought it was well officiated, except for that little sequence there. And their commissioner may tell them, you do this. And if you don't follow what your commissioner tells you to do, you're not going to the next round. So you understand? I mean, there's some, you know, so you've got to follow what your commissioner's telling you. You're a signer. I mean, there's good officials. There was an article in Sports Illustrated this last week about a good official. Got into it with Bobby Knight. You know, he's had to go change his leagues, goes from back and forth. You know, so you make people mad, you know.
Oh, it's all about a little tenure every
year. Yeah, that's right. Yes.
And these officials know the teams that they're going to be officiating, and they study them. I mean, like you were saying, you're doing Nebraska Danger games now. You have you don't just show up and go, hey, what's up, guys, and let's kick it off. You have meetings beforehand. These officials, I mean, each site has two different sets of officials. It's not like the same officials did the Indiana game and the Marquette game last night. No, they're separate. So they know and they prepare for that game. They should know what kind of style they're looking at, what kind of things they're looking at. We'll see how it all plays out. But
John Higgins has the Marquette Syracuse game. That's in Washington, D.C. Saturday night. You know, John Higgins is from Omaha and has worked Final Fours. He's never got to do a final, I don't believe. You know, John hasn't, but he's worked some Final Fours and he's a well known official. And I know that game will be two Big East teams going after it. You know, that'll be a tremendous basketball game.
Go Syracuse. Everybody was excited because we thought we were going to have four good games last night. Didn't. We didn't have four good games. I mean, let's face it, Wichita State and Marquette, those are blowouts from the get-go and trying to play catch-up all night. Ohio State, that was a good game. They were up by 11. Arizona comes back and ties that one up and has a chance to win it, of course. So we'll see what happens tonight. Four more games here on ESPN Radio, starting at 6:15 with Louisville and Oregon. Michigan State plays Duke. Michigan plays Kansas. And then the one that the non-basketball fans are interested in, Florida and the Cinderella Florida Gulf Coast.
You know, that Florida Gulf Coast and actually the Oregon-Louisville game are going to be two games where if there's two games where there's going to be possible upsets. And both teams have a shot. Can you imagine what Gulf Coast is thinking about the bragging rights of the state there for them? You know, but the other two games actually are teams that at the beginning of the year, all four could have won the national championship. If you said, who do you like? Oh, I like Duke. Oh, I like Michigan State. I like Kansas. You know, I like Michigan. I think those four programs, you know, theirs is impossible. To make it to the Sweet 16, these all could be finals. These could be final games. Oregon's going to have a lot of work to do. It'd be nice if they could come in. They've looked good. They got a bad seed. Everybody in the nation thought they got a bad seed. They took care of that. Now they can play some basketball, and they got a chance to upset Louisville.
And as Coach is saying at Louisville, he's just saying, hey, guys, they're a three seed. Let's just play them. They're a three seed. Don't look at that number next to their name. We'll see how it all plays out, and we'll have our final four when we're back on Monday. Sean Callahan's coming up. Jan Levine from RotoWire. Steve Anderson from Fauner Park. Right after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. I want to tell you about some exciting menu changes starting this month, from gourmet burgers and 8 flavors of real New York-style buffalo wings to prime Nebraska beef and barbecue brisket smoked in-house. I also want to remind you, we have the perfect spot for private dining. So whether it's Tommy's birthday party, Sally's going away party, your company Christmas party, or you just want to bring the gang from work down for a drink.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, it's the Herd. We're all so busy, lot to do, many places we need to be, business travel, appointments, family commitments. Trying to find time to get caught up at the office can be impossible. That's why you should use Go to My PC by Citrix. You can securely access your entire office computer from wherever you are. All you have to do is use your smartphone, Mac, PC, or tablet. With Go to My PC, you can use any program, edit any file, send any file, just like you're at your desk. But you could do it from a coffee shop, the airport. By the way, I get a lot of work done at airports. Hotel, restaurant, even from home. Go to My PC. Easy to use, easier to set up. Try Go to My PC free today with a special 45-day free trial just for my listeners. Go to mypc.com, go there, click the Try It Free button, and in the promo code Colin. Then you just download the free app to your mobile device. Go to mypc.com, try it free, the promo code.
Let the madness begin.
Oladipo sails the other way. He comes across midcourt into the lane of the glass. Shot blocked. Right to Sheehy. Open 10-footer left side is good. And Indiana has taken the lead.
The 2013 NCAA tournament is on the Dial Global Radio Network. From the first round to the Final Four, all the action is right here.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Partly sunny skies develop today with increasing cloudiness late in the day with a slight chance for a shower late as well, with a high near 68 degrees. Tonight we'll see a chance for isolated showers or a thunderstorm with a low at 43. I'm Paul Tremblay. Right now it's 55.
Doug and Danny's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on today's program. Of course, the Women's Sweet 16 is this weekend as well. Nebraska will take on Duke at 1:30 Sunday on ESPN2 and The Breeze, 94.5 FM. Duke ranked 5th in the country going into the postseason. Nebraska was 24th. As great as this season is, it's still hard to believe that it is the second most wins the Nebraska women have ever tallied, 25 of them. Duke 32-2. Tough game for the Husker women, but if they do win Sunday, they'll play either Notre Dame or Kansas. They'll play Notre Dame. That game would be next Tuesday. The Nebraska football team spring game is coming up on next Saturday, and of course they get back on the practice field today. They'll probably have one of their rougher or more competitive scrimmages this weekend, because next weekend is all show.
Tim O'Day is going to officiate that out of Hastings. He's got both Friday and Saturday, and he says the Saturday scrimmage will be very competitive. They'll go after it.
Well, we'll find out more here on our TNL Husker recruiting update, brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems. TNL Center Pivot owners have come to expect quality and dependability with every TNL irrigation system. So to assure many more years of reliable irrigation, don't wait any longer. Schedule your annual preventative maintenance program today. Performing basic maintenance in the off-season will pay you back when the summer heat arrives. Call your independent TNL dealer to thoroughly inspect your machine from the pivot point to the overhang. TNL Irrigation Systems, easier on you for a lifetime. And we welcome in Sean Callahan of Husker Online. Sean, how's your bracket doing?
Well, I took a lump with Indiana. I've got two right now, and one of them has Ohio State winning it, and one has Indiana winning it. So I'm still alive in one. But, you know, I had Oregon in the Sweet 16. I felt pretty good about that pick. But like everybody else, I think, you know, it's going to be hard to get that Final Four exact, because you know there's another upset in there somewhere that we're not going to call here.
Yeah, that was a reminder of one of the brackets I was in. They updated our point system last night, and I said, hey, you figured mine wrong, and then 2 hours later said, don't even worry about it, because it ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter. Sean, how'd the Huskers look coming back out of spring break? Everybody seems to be happy. We haven't had a whole lot of disgruntlement this week.
Yeah, I think you know, they want to start fast and get after right away. With 8 practices done over the first 2 weeks, they virtually had everything installed in those 2 weeks. And, I think in the year before, they only did 1 week, then they went to break, so they didn't have everything installed. And the fact that everything was installed allowed people some extra time to, you know, get some retention and learn things mentally. And most importantly, they had that break. And it was really, there's only been about 2 or 3 weeks of downtime for this team since August. They got a week off in January after the bowl before classes started, and they had a little bit of downtime in December, and then that was it. So for these players, it was nice to get a week off. The coaches went on some vacations last week, and then everybody came back pretty refreshed, and I think it's reflected to the practices now. They'll go today, and they'll go tomorrow. And really, tomorrow, I always say, is the real spring game. Tomorrow will be the full-out scrimmage where you'll see probably more of what Nebraska does on offense and defense, where on Saturday, April 6th, we're just going to see a real scaled-down version of things where they're not going to really probably run all of their, you know, big stuff, especially with the Big Ten Network broadcast. So I think tomorrow is really this is probably the biggest day of the spring when they come out here and scrimmage for 120 plays.
Yeah, you know, I had a couple friends that are refereeing that scrimmage, and they're scrimmaging today and tomorrow, the way I understand. He's going up to work both scrimmages. Will they both be competitive, or will there be different people playing on Friday than Saturday?
I don't know that for sure. I'm at the coaches' clinic now, so we'll be able to see the practices actually Friday and Saturday because we're paid to come to the clinic this year, and it should be interesting to see how it goes. But I would think one of the days – they always have officials that practice, so every day that work regardless. So I maybe one today might be a scaled down version, maybe an extended team period. And typically Saturday they go right into the scrimmage right away, spot the ball on the 40 and go, and they'll do a 2.5, 2 hour scrimmage on Saturday. So I would, you know, they might do it today. I'm not sure, but I would guess they do it on Saturday, just have one more day to kind of prepare before they kind of close out the week here.
Yeah, I understood that Saturday was the big, you know, I just wondered if maybe they were going to look at some other young kids and some people that maybe are fighting for positions a little bit more, you know, today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right, so.
And they know what they have at Taylor Martinez. Amir Abdullah's been shelved this spring. Taylor Martinez has not taken a real scrimmage snap yet. They don't want to get him hurt. They know what that he can do, and they're really excited to develop guys like Tommy Armstrong, and even Riker Fife from Grand Island is going to get good reps tomorrow, and Tyson Brockmeyer from Aurora. You know, I think it's allowing them to get some of those guys more reps with, you know, not necessarily a guy like Brockmeyer, Fife's not going to be at the ones, but they might see some reps at the twos. Ron Kellogg and Armstrong might run the ones, and those guys will get a real opportunity to get some snaps and, you know, be evaluated for the future.
You mentioned coaches' clinic. Some people don't realize that that happens all the time down there. What's the attendance like, and what does Coach Pelini and his staff do with these coaches while they're down there?
Well, last night they opened things up with a session where the offensive coaches talk for an hour, and then there's a break, and the defensive coaches talk for an hour. So you could pick one of the guys, one of the sessions to go to on offense. I went to the offensive line session with Barney Cotton and John Garrison, and you learned some interesting stuff. On the average practice right now, Nebraska runs 130 to 140 plays per practice on offense. In comparison, they do about 80 to 90 on defense. I mean, just the tempo that they're running, it's just fascinating to hear the behind-the-scenes take on that. Nebraska ran a play on average 21 to 22 seconds per play. Oregon was at about a 19-second play pace. Nebraska was fourth in the country in offensive play tempo. With the clock stopping, are starting now in out-of-bounds plays. They wanted to try to increase their play counts in games. They were down to about 60 plays a game 3 years ago when Sean Watson was here. Now they're running 80 plays a game because of the no huddle. And it's just interesting to hear that stuff. Heard Ross Ells talk last night a lot about linebacker drills. And then this morning they have a bevy of speakers. Scott Strohmeyer, the national championship head coach from Iowa Western, led the thing off this morning, breaking down their no huddle offense. And a lot of coaches, I think, took note because it's a very simple no-huddle offense that they run at Iowa Western that won a national title and averaged 69 points a game. That's amazing.
So we,
and 600 and some yards of offense per game running this no-huddle offense and how simple it was to run. Tim Yalk, one of my old coaches from Gross, spoke. Jeff Gross from McCook is speaking right now. Larry Martin from Omaha North will speak after lunch. And then they've got a coach in here from Denton Geyer in Texas and a coach in from Louisiana. Tom Osborne is the keynote. Now, typically, we've seen guys like you know, like a Dick Vermeil or a Sean Payton come in here and speak with Tom Osborne in his final year, they thought it would be a good idea to have him be the keynote speaker and address the coaches tonight at 8:30.
I think that's a good choice, myself.
Save them some money, too.
Yeah. Mileage, mileage check was good. Hey, I got a question for on the no huddle. I'm going to say in around the 97-98 season, right in there, the NCAA changed the rule. That was the year they changed the rule where if the offense subbed late, you had to give the defense 3 seconds, you know, to go and the umpires to go over and get over the ball and et cetera. But now with the no huddle, you know, they don't huddle at all. They just go out, and the defenses can't do anything, basically, unless the offense makes a move. So the offense actually can use the whole time. Are they talking a little bit about that in that clinics, about how the offense just looks over the ball, and they look, and if they think they have that disadvantage or the advantage that they want, that's when they go with the play? Do they talk a little bit about that at the clinic?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, one of the things defensively coaches were talking about is, you've got to simplify your defense to match the no huddle. You can't get too complicated. You can't do a lot of substituting. You've got to have a very good set of linebackers that can cover in space and safeties that can cover in space, and, you know, have those guys be dialed in with 3 or 4 simple play calls, and that's how those guys matched up. But, you know, it really is the great equalizer. If you go back and look at the bowl game, the Capital One Bowl, Georgia, on their defense, had 5 first-round draft picks on that defense. And Nebraska realistically doesn't have that type of talent on their offense. But the no huddle and the tempo gave Georgia problems in that game. And, you know, Mir Abdullah doesn't fumble there. They go in and probably score another touchdown. They retake the lead when it was tied. And you could tell Georgia's coaches were really mad how fast Nebraska is getting their snaps off, because in the SEC, only Texas A&M really does that effectively. And Georgia didn't play A&M last year. So you could tell that it was a total game changer and allowed Nebraska to play with some of these teams like a Georgia that probably had more talent. And I think coaches in the smaller classes are seeing that here in Nebraska now. You're seeing coaches that may not have the big alignment of a Miller North, but they're able to scheme something with their best athletes in a no-huddle system that allows them to put points and yards on the scoreboard.
You know, you're right about the no huddle on that, and also you're right about the Georgia game where Nebraska fumbled about, I think, around 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and they were driving, and they actually, it was a no huddle, and sometimes they'd use the whole clock, and sometimes they'd snap it fast. You know, it was too bad they had a couple of those 87-yard touchdown slant-in passes on us, you know.
That's always too bad. Yeah. Sean Callahan's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, he's down at Coach's Clinic, Nebraska practice. Did want to touch on recruiting just a little bit, Sean, before we let you go. One of the articles, obviously, that you have up on the Husker Online website was how the coaches are glad that these new recruiting rules haven't taken that next step like we had been talking about. Touch on that in any recruiting news for the spring game.
Well, really, if you're not familiar, the NCAA was going to try to pass 3 rules. One was going to allow them to have unlimited coaching staff members contact players. So right now, only 10 coaches can contact players, the 9 assistants and the head coach. The new rule that the NCAA wanted to pass was you could have unlimited. So you could hire 50 people to help the contact recruits. And the second rule is you could send unlimited mailings. There's no mailing restrictions. So literally, you could send pop-up tents to kids or pop-up anything, you know, fathead things, unlimited. And then the third was unlimited ability to call kids on their cell phone and text message. Right now, if you text message a kid, it counts as your phone call. So there is no texting anymore that goes on. That was taken away in about 2007. NCAA cracked down on text messaging and put a lid on it. Well, they wanted to open the lid up and just make it unlimited. And I think the concern is that, you know, these kids are going to get spammed with tons of texts, obviously more phone calls. And that was, I think, the biggest concern for Bo Pelini. And, you know, the NCAA has tabled the mailing restriction and the staff restriction. Now, the unlimited contact still has to go through voting in the voting process here, I believe, in May. It probably will not go through. I mean, that's the speculation right now. And, you know, Pelini's point to me was, how can you even expect that one to go through when you've taken away the unlimited staff thing? I think what they need to do is revisit these things and say, okay, now, instead of unlimited, how about every school can hire 2 additional people to call and contact recruits? Put a lid on that. You know, I think you probably have to have some mailing restrictions still. And you know, that I think you can have text messaging during certain times of the year, but I don't think you should allow text messaging to go year-round unlimited with phone calls. I mean, these kids are, if you're a guy that's down to 25 scholarship offers, you're going to have 25 coaches calling and texting you nonstop, and that's not good for the kids who are trying to, you know, study in school and do their schoolwork. And, you know, I think that's one of the biggest concerns from my standpoint for a kid. And on top of that, you've got recruiting services like myself or other companies out there that are calling kids as well. I mean, these poor high school players will never want to answer their phone for anybody when all these people are trying to call them.
And next weekend, recruiting-wise, what's it looking like, Sean?
Well, it's still being developed as we speak, but it's the only game in town. Nebraska's red-white game on April 6th. No other Big Ten spring game will be played that day, and really no other major spring game in the country is on April 6th. So it's a huge advantage. Looks like the weather hopefully should be nice. But ideally, if they can get around 10 to 15 scholarship offer guys here, I think it would be a good turnout, and that's probably what they're looking at. I mean, they might get more than that. We're still working the numbers as we speak, and a lot of that will probably get settled next week. But it has the potential to be as well attended of a spring game in terms of offered recruits as we've ever seen at Nebraska. And a lot of it, I think, is the strategy that they use to have the game on April 6th, or the following week, April 13th, is Michigan and Ohio State spring game, and also the day of the ACT test. Every junior that's going to go to college takes the ACT on April 13th. So you're going to not only lose out to those type of guys, but, you know, kids from that region are probably going to go to Ohio State and Michigan if they're closer to those two schools.
All righty, Sean. Sure appreciate the time. We'll let you get back in there and get some more knowledge. We'll see you next Saturday at the spring game.
Hey, guys. Thanks.
Take care, Sean Callahan, HuskerOnline.com. Check it out for all the latest Husker news and our T&L recruiting update brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. Again, the spring game is next Saturday, April 6th, 2 o'clock in Lincoln, and it will also be shown on the Big Ten Network. When we come back, a little fantasy baseball with Jan Levine of RotoWire. If you've got a question about your fantasy baseball team, email or Facebook us. And plus, we were going to Fauner Park in our last segment with Steve Anderson. That and more coming up.
Espresso and breakfast pizza?
Yep.
Espresso and salad bar?
Yep.
Espresso and wings?
Sure.
Genius.
Godfather's Pizza and Mountain Mud Espresso.
Nothing goes better with our morning pick-me-up and handmade breakfast pizza. A little later in the day, monkey bread, wings, and all the best ingredients that make any Godfather's Pizza you're craving. Takeout and delivery available. Download our Facebook app and never miss an offer or update from us. Godfather's Pizza on North Burlington across from the Museum in Hastings. Call 461-0386. And Mountain Mud Espresso at 1410 West J Street. Call 461-3714. A pizza you can't refuse. And espresso too.
You're in your car, and that annoying check engine light comes on. You're tempted to call its bluff, tape over it, and wait it out. But you know there's a better way. AutoZone. They'll help you find what the problem is for free. They sell tape there, too. But you won't be needing it.
When your check engine light comes on, get to AutoZone. We'll read your trouble code for free and help you fix it right the first time. Or we can recommend a professional mechanic with our shop referral program. Get in the zone. AutoZone. See store for restrictions and details.
You should wake up to eggs, you see, because they'll give you energy, and they'll keep you fuller longer, and might leave you feeling stronger. And did I mention vitamin D? If I didn't, shame on me. The incredible edible egg.
And with Easter coming too, there's so much that you can do. You can paint them, you can glue them, you can stick some stuff onto them. Once we made our egg belt with a little piece of felt. The incredible edible egg.
Learn more at facebook.com/incredible.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
When I told my buddies I was picking Butler to make it to the Final Four, my friends just laughed. So tournament time came around, we all head down to Cunningham's Journal. As my wife might say, my home away from home. Cunningham's has what any bracketologist would want. Wireless internet to do your research, awesome food, a bajillion TVs, and the coldest beer in town. Anyways, there was Butler in the final seconds, nailing a buzzer beater, and guess who's laughing now? So fellow bracketologists, when it comes to tournament time, make Cunningham's Journal your home away from home in downtown Kearney.
Partly sunny skies develop today with increasing cloudiness late in the day with a slight chance for a shower late as well. With a high near 68 degrees. Tonight we'll see a chance for isolated showers or a thunderstorm with a low at 43. I'm Paul Tremblay. Right now it's 55.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan with you on this Friday, final show of March. When we're back with you on Monday, it will be April Fool's Day. You coming back?
Thanks a lot.
Sorry, man. Yeah. Sorry, man. Our ESPN poll question of the day brought to you by Midtown Mart Cooler Question. Here's what we've got. Midtown Mart, always the coolest. Shaka Smart decided to stay at VCU, turning down UCLA. What would you have done? Would you have taken the money and run, or would you stay at your school? 73% said stay. 27% said taking the job. Which team is your early pick to win the World Series, folks? Angels? You actually put the Blue Jays on here. I know. I get it. They're supposed to be red hot. Yankees are supposed to finish last, even though they'll be on ESPN 160 times this year. So the Angels, the Blue Jays, the Washington Nationals, the Giants, or someone else. Vote on our Midtown Mart Cooler question over the weekend at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Jan Levine, RotoWire, RotoWire.com, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Jan.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing good. Who's your pick? Who do you got in the World Series?
I got to go with the Nationals. I just think the improvements that they made on that team, getting Span in center field, helps them tremendously, moving Harper over to right, and just the pitching staff and the depth that they had with Soriano in the bullpen, with Clifford and Storen, I just find them to be the team to beat. And selfishly, as a Mets fan, I got a warm spot in my heart for David Johnson. I think he's one of the best managers in baseball. So the combination of those guys, I think, is what's going to lead the Nationals to the title this year.
Hey, I got a question for you while you're on here. I think that, you know, in the American League East, if anybody could win that thing. I mean, it was wide open. But the three teams that I think have the best shot are the Reds, the Nationals, and the Detroit Tigers. Am I off base there, or do you have somebody else?
No, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, if Josh Hamilton stays healthy and putting him with Pujols, assuming Pujols has a better year this year, I mean, you got to give Anaheim a shot. But I think that's going to depend on how well guys like Tommy Hansen do and how well Ryan Matson's out. If both of them, you know, Matson comes back healthy and is able to solidify the bullpen, and Hansen is a pretty solid three starter there, I would give the Angels a pretty decent shot maybe of coming out of the American League. But in terms of this year, I just think, you know, the big problem with Tigers is who's their closer, and will they reach out to Jose Valverde, or is Bruce Rondon going to come up? But, you know, offensively, they got a heck of a lineup. Anything that has Verlander as your top starter, you know you're going to have good outings with him and Anibal Sanchez, the top two in the rotation.
Right, and the rest of that group's got to really improve a lot. You know, I mean, the rest of the teams, you know, I think just have to improve quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, you know, Toronto, a ton of moves. How's Jose Reyes' hamstrings going to handle the turf there in Toronto? How's Josh Johnson going to handle the move over to the American League and leasing can stay healthy for the whole season? And then the Yankees, just given the age and the number of injuries, it's hard to rule them out given their history, but this could be the first year, you know, other than, you know, a full season since around 93 that they really, you know, that they struggled tremendously because, you know, you look at that lineup and Jeter's hurt and Grandison's hurt and Teixeira's hurt. That's a pretty healthy amount of guys that are hurt, plus coupled with all the guys that have left, Swisher and the like. So offensively, they're going to have to play a little small ball rather than going for power. And the Red Sox, I think the receiver could be the Red Sox. I think John Lester has a pretty big rebound year. Could be with all the nightmare that went on there in terms of the clubhouse getting resolved this year. Could be a team seeing something.
Jan Levine, RotoWire, RotoWire.com. I think we're losing Jan on his cell phone here. We may have to reconnect with Jan. Let's try that real quick, Jeffrey, see if we can reconnect with. Yeah, there we go. I think.
Hey, sorry about that. Hey. I'm just driving with my kids. They're off to school, so I apologize for that.
No problem, buddy. Let's get to a couple of questions here from our listeners and get you back to your day here. Matt and Carney says, should I draft Strasburg, or is his injury risk too high? And how about Mariano Rivera?
Well, A.R. Strasburg, I think he's one of the top three or four in baseball. They can extend any year. You know, the same thing as Cal, a year, which shut him down early. And if you're going to target after guys like Verlander and Kershaw, you know, draft Strasburg being the third guy off the board. So I think the injury risk is a bit overplayed right now. They should have a full season. In terms of Mariano, he's looked healthy so far this spring. Again, he's a one-pitch pitcher, but that one pitch is the most impossible to hit. And you know he's going to try to have a big season to go out with, given that he announced his retirement this year. So I don't think I'd have any qualms picking either one of them in Strasburg in terms of very early in my draft as maybe the third starter off the board.
Well, we always have a lot of Kansas City Royals fan. Royals fan one says Hosmer or Rizzo?
That's a good question. I actually think I happen to like Rizzo a little bit better. Hosmer looked pretty good after he replaced Wright in the WBC and had a pretty good camp. But last year's struggles make you a little bit reluctant. And I just think Rizzo, in general, has a slightly bigger year, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people expect. I think Hosmer has a nice rebound campaign this season.
Let's go to Tim in Hastings. He says King Felix, CC Sabathia, or David Price.
That's pretty close. I think I got to go Price, slight edge. Just the numbers he put up last year were staggering. Sabathia, obviously, is coming off the arm of last year. And Felix, the team's going to be a little bit better, but you got to wonder, will the moving of the fences and safe call have any impact on him? So I got to get Price number one, probably. Sabathia number two, so for the win edge there, but pretty close, a 1-1 in the second spot between Sabathia as well as King Felix.
We've got a guy from Holdridge that called in, Troy, and he wanted an outfielder, Camp Hamilton or Zobrist?
I'm going to give Hamilton a slight edge over Kemp. I mean, Kemp had the monster season 2 years ago, was hurt last year. Hamilton's got that injury risk there and is going to a slightly lesser hitter's park in Anaheim, but the lineup around him makes him a tough out. I happen to like Kemp a lot. If you could tell me now that Kemp will actually run a little bit, then I'd give Kemp the edge over Hamilton. But if Kemp doesn't run like he did 2 years ago, I got to give Hamilton the edge there. And Zobrist, solid outfielder, but I think if you're putting him, I think he'd probably be more of a middle infield play than an outfield kind of a play in most leagues.
We've got Jan Levine for another minute here from RotoWire, RotoWire.com on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob in Grand Island, there's always one of these out there. He wants a steal. Who can I get late in the draft that would be a steal similar to Ubaldo Jimenez a couple of years back? You got any late draft steals?
I don't know if I'd call him a steal, maybe a little bit biased, but I think John Neese takes that another step up this year. He's got the changeup looking really well this spring. Granted, the Mets lineup, especially their outfield, is a nightmare, but I think Neese really steps up this year and assumes the mantle of the number one there in New York with Santana down for the full season. But he's one of those guys I'd look at as a possible later-on guy that guys may sleep on a little bit but should produce pretty nice numbers for you.
And Mike in Hastings says, I have the fifth pick in my draft. He thinks he can get Fielder, Cano, Bautista, or Verlander. So which one do you give him advice on there?
I think I got to go coin flip between Verlander and Cano. Cano mainly because of the position scarcity, and given the numbers that he puts up as a second baseman, that sort of is fairly similar to the first baseman and the outfielder. So it depends on your preference. If you like waiting on pitchers, then I would go Cano. If you like grabbing that stud starter early, then I could see taking Verlander with a slight edge over Cano there.
And one more here before we run out of time. Mike and Carney, Aramis Ramirez or Ryan Zimmerman at third?
Tough question. I think Zimmerman, just because of the lineup around him, he seems to be healthy. Should start the season on the active roster. Aramis, you know what you get every year. It's a good 25-90, but Zimmerman gives you the potential for slightly more. So it gives Zimmerman a slight edge over Aramis right now.
And I guess the flat-out question is, if you've got the number one pick, Jan, who are you taking?
Wow, I mean, that's a really tough question. I just think, just for the combination of power and speed and the numbers he can produce, I got to go Trout, but I wouldn't give anybody an argument if they took Cabrera instead of Trout, number one overall.
Well, that's why we've got the man from RotoWire, Jan Levine, with us to answer your fantasy baseball questions, and we'll catch up with him again as the season moves along. Hey, have fun with the family today, Jan. Thanks for squeezing us in for a few minutes.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Sorry about the phone issues, and great to be on again.
No problem, buddy. Have a good one. Have a great season.
Thank you.
Jan Levine, RotoWire, RotoWire.com. They'll answer your questions 24/7. If you've been working with them during football or any of the other fantasy seasons, you can post a question on the website and they will get back to you, or you can listen for them here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Fantasy baseball, it is here. Baseball season again. Game one, Sunday night, Rangers, Astros. Astros, their first season in the American League West, and so they'll be battle for bragging rights in Texas right off the bat. And the Royals on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. Doug and Danny Show. We'll be back here in just a second. Andy from Midway rolls in with us, and we've been talking new vehicles. We've been talking a variety of things with the Midway Auto Dealership at Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. A couple other things we wanted to touch on today is the pre-owned vehicles. The lot looks great as we finally maybe get into springtime here where we want that new car. We want that different car. Yeah. It doesn't have to be new. It's pre-owned. That's what we're talking about. Or maybe it's just time that winter has kind of beat you down a little bit. Get in and get it serviced.
Yeah, right now what we've really been focusing on is we've got a lot of great fresh one-owner trade-ins, just local stuff that we've traded for over the past, 30 to 45 days, which makes our job a heck of a lot easier. It's, customers really appreciate that vehicle with a good story that came from, their local community. But at the same time, too, I know Heath and I are both out scouring the Midwest right now trying to find good quality, late model, low mile pre-owned vehicles, and we're finding them. There is an abundance of vehicles coming in. I know that Heath and I have both been purchasing about, 10 to 15, 20 every couple weeks, and just trying to make sure we can keep those inventory levels adequate for what people are looking for. And at the same time, too, folks, right now, I personally think we have the best selection we've ever had. We've had higher volume numbers, but I'm a quality versus quantity type of guy. I mean, sometimes if you have 225, 250 pre-owned vehicles on the lot, things kind of get lost in the shuffle, and maybe the reconditioning work wasn't as good as it could be. Maybe we had some stuff that wasn't on par to what Midway standards can be. But I can honestly tell you right now, between the 175, 195 vehicles that we have on our lot, these things are in tip-top shape. They look fantastic. Majority of those being Midway certified pre-owned gives you that nice peace of mind on something like that. Folks, if you've never experienced the Midway hassle-free pricing and the Midway certified pre-owned, you got to come check us out. And at the same time, like Doug said, maybe if you're just not ready to make that change, you really need to get out and come see Derek down at the Midway Chrysler location down there. Make sure that they can go ahead and get you taken care of. And also go see Kurt Johnson up at Midway Chevrolet. Great service departments, ASC certified technicians. Down at the Chrysler store, you got the Midway Mopar Express Lube Lane. Folks, this is not the same service department that you seen a year ago or, even 8 months ago or 18 months ago. Folks, we've got brand new people in there. Everything has been streamlined. We're having a lot of success in there, and it's because we're taking a customer-first approach.
Don't even have to make an appointment. In and out in about 30 minutes, they'll take care of you. Maybe you have to drop the vehicle off. They'll take you where you need to be, maybe to work, pick you up, get ready. It's all convenience, and, of course, there's a price range on all of those pre-owned from whatever you can handle, and you can check it out on their website. Folks, it's all there. It's amazing. ThinkMidway.com. Andy, man, enjoy the rest of the basketball tournament. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. See you, Doug.
That's Andy. Midway, thinkmidway.com at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We're back with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Lose 30 pounds in only 3 weeks? Really? If you're frustrated with outrageous weight loss promises, Complete Nutrition is about to change that. Try Refirm, the first ever and only weight loss product on the market that actually shrinks fat cells.
This is Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm. Refirm does something you've never experienced. It actually shrinks fat cells, and that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells. Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, visit your Complete Nutrition store to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
At Hanes, we know you hate annoying things. That's why we got rid of tags on all our t-shirts and underwear. Now we have some things in the sports world we'd like to get rid of. They include television timeouts in basketball, bad calls, all of them. When every basketball season ends, did I mention bad calls? Being blocked on the Jumbotron by the person with big hair in front of you. Tags are annoying, so we got rid of them. And now we have our sights on annoying sports things. Hanes, go tagless.
At Advance Auto Parts, we believe the words fast and car belong together, like sling and shot. So when you need a part for your car, we get it for you fast, because that's just how we roll. We roll fast. Plus, now get up to $30 back by mail when you buy Wagner Thermo Quiet Brake Pads. Up to $30 back. Yeah, it's like a money slingshot. One more way. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Partly sunny skies develop today with increasing cloudiness late in the day with a slight chance for a shower late as well. With a high near 68 degrees. Tonight we'll see a chance for isolated showers or a thunderstorm with a low at 43. I'm Paul Tremblay. Right now it's 55.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Easter Sunday is here, and Troutman's Quality Meats is here for you. Maybe all of a sudden you've changed venues on where you're having Easter Sunday. Well, you can hit a home run. Oh, in just 2 days we're having it all here? How about getting a boneless ham, a lamb roast, steaks, prime ribs? They're all there for your Easter dinner anytime, today, tomorrow, Sunday. Even if you're not having Easter dinner, who doesn't like a little steak prime rib? They still have them there for you. A few boneless hams remain for carrying the gang at Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend on Highway 30 here in Kearney. March Madness is getting closer to the Final Four, and enjoy some sausage and snack sticks to chow on for the game. And, of course, Lenten finishing up today. They still have a great selection of fresh frozen seafood available at Troutman's, where all of their beef is USDA Choice certified Angus beef, and their steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. Take care of your March Madness munchies and your Easter Sunday holiday meal at Troutman's Quality Meats. The boneless hams, outstanding. The steaks, outstanding. The prime rib, outstanding. Jar of baked beans for Jeff, outstanding at Troutman's Quality Meats. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, and Steve Anderson, the voice of Fauner Park, is with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Happy Easter weekend, Steve-O.
Hey, happy Easter, guys. The hunger pains just suddenly appeared, Doug. It's awesome.
It's crazy. Now, I got this text last week, and of course I got an email, I got a text, and from some of the old barn folks that have been there in the past, and said, "Ooh, Doug's running on Friday." How'd Doug do last week?
Doug fell short of what we all hoped and expected.
Shocker!
But even worse that day was Ordway falls in love. I know you've been partial to this horse over the years. She's a beautiful-looking gray horse, but she's getting a little long in the skirt, if you know what I mean.
I can say something there, too.
She had a perfect setup. I mean, I went on at length, as you know I can do easily during my handicapping seminars before every race, how this set up for the perfect closing antics of Ordway Falls in Love. And she took off as she normally does. She could see them all from the back of the pack into the first turn, and I never called her name again. I don't even know if she finished the race. I'm sure she did because I didn't hear otherwise. But, you know, it's tough to make a plan come together in terms of handicapping horses, but from time to time, racing luck does shine on our side. Doug and Ordway Falls in Love, I certainly hope there are better days to come.
Well, the odds will be better next time. We definitely know that. We've got just 2 days of racing this weekend. Easter Sunday is dark, so everybody can enjoy it with their families. But tomorrow, the runs of stakes, which usually can kind of be a precursor to a couple of the bigger stakes at the end of this horse racing season at Fauner Park.
Yeah, it can. It features the best fillies and mares on the backside. And I went on at length this morning in a column I write for the local paper about a horse that's not going to be in that race tomorrow, a 5-year-old Kentucky bred named Silver Meeting. Doug, I'm not embellishing this. Here's a mare that had only 9 lifetime starts, that was bought for $5,000 earlier this year at the Keeneland sales, that showed up under the care of Mickey Washburn. This man is a magician in rehabilitating horses. And this horse, not once but twice against allowance competition earlier in the year, actually, I did not have the right or enough superlatives to describe what was just a totally dominating performance. She ran last week. She cannot come back and does not bounce back as fast as some of the younger gals do to run in the runs of tomorrow. But I promise you that if they keep this horse physically intact, she will show up on Bossaman Day in the $25,000 Al Swihart Stakes. And this horse, coupled with hopefully Diamond Joe running in the Bossaman, is a day that I would even shell out good money to pay admission for, because these are two really outstanding horses, which really has made for a tremendous season here, despite the weather and everything else. But we still got a nice runs-a-going tomorrow, guys. The defending champion doesn't show up in there either, Sookie's Cookies. She actually runs in a starter allowance today, but her stablemate, Spice Swirl, certainly will go off as the favorite. She's already won a stake earlier this year. Hot Body is an Iowa-bred horse that's got only one kind of speed, and that's blistering on the front end. She's going to be really tough to handle if this track holds up the way that I would anticipate that it will. And TJ's Affair got a horrible trip in her only attempt on the racetrack earlier this year against Spice World. So it's a pretty formidable bunch. It could be better, but we've got a lot of full fields, 11 races tomorrow. First race goes at 1:30. We've got 10 today, guys, with a 3 o'clock starting time. And it really, you know, I'm the head of the Chamber of Commerce Department out here at Fauner Park, and for once I don't have to twist the truth a little bit. It is going to be in the mid-60s. Track is fast and firm. The sun is shining. What else, what better things could you do than come out to the races?
Hey, this is Jim Lang, and I've been one of your fans for a while. And of course, I've spent a few days of my life at Fauner Park that I wish I would have never showed up that day. But hey, I've got a question for you a little bit. On Sunday, I was out there Sunday, and I want Fauner Park to have success just like you do. I mean, and you've got more of a vested interest than I do. But when they called off those races, after the second race, and I understand the safety of the jockeys, the safety of the horses, and everything involved. You know, they spent so much money trying to get the track ready that we would not have that problem. I was a little kind of amazed that they stopped them. I'm pretty good at knowing when they might or might not stop them, but I was kind of surprised. Were you surprised they stopped them?
It was totally unexpected, Jim. By the way, the passion in your old gold voice just sends shrills up my spine. I love it when you're on. A longtime fan, and you're a great Fauner Park supporter. No, in fact, it came as such a surprise that for the first time, and I've been out there in this capacity for 10 years now, we were really scrambling to try to communicate with the fans because we knew the jockeys were down negotiating with the stewards, and the racing officials were actually out mingling with the fans, and we couldn't find these people. And, you know, I went on 10 minutes before the anticipated post time and did, again, a prediction show, which was just a shambles. This is the first time, if you pay attention, Jim and Doug, to the, you know, the closed-circuit monitors and watch the action going on, and we're down in the paddock. We get great up-close photos of the horses, and they're being saddled in the whole nine yards. I had never seen this before, and we still hadn't told the fans that the jockeys were not going to come out and ride for the rest of the day. The horses were led out of the paddock, and then I see the identifier. He's walking out the back door and turns the lights off, and this can all be seen on the closed-circuit monitor. And we still hadn't made an official announcement to the fans. I absolutely wonder what was going through the minds of some that do follow all of that. It was a mistake that we left that picture up on the air. But I will tell you this. I've softened my stance, Jim, about the riders. I wrote and I talked about it in the reports I filed earlier this morning with various radio stations around central Nebraska. You know, I've been around thoroughbreds virtually my whole life. I'm scared to death of them. I wouldn't even climb on the back under any conditions of a thoroughbred to ride. That being said, these jockeys, I was amazed they ran the day before. Quite frankly, last Saturday, it snowed all day. The wind was twice as strong, or so it seemed that it was on Sunday. The sun never came out. I went down to the winner's circle twice following the two stakes races, and it was raining icicles almost. I mean, it was just totally miserable. The fact that they rode Saturday, I guess, was what made it so surprising that after the second race they decided not to go on Sunday. The riders insisted that the north turn, which is the only turn in those half-mile races, was totally frozen. I know that the state steward, Bob Pollack, tried to negotiate and tell him, look, just go wide. These guys ride wide as a general rule anyway, and wrap up on your horse. We didn't see any horses sliding or, you know, look like where they were going through slick spots, but yet they insisted that it was. And you got to take their word for it. You know, the sands in the hourglass are slowly dripping to the bottom, and our season's going to run out here, and the rest of the circuit, other than the 3 days in Omaha, is just totally up in the air. I don't know what all these horsemen, riders, jockeys, owners are going to do, and that's a story for another time, but yeah, you know, I went over to the clubhouse and tried to spread a little good cheer amongst the fans over there. A lot of disappointment, but we've had a miserable start to what otherwise has just been an outstanding first 5 weeks.
Yeah, I thought Fauner Park made a good decision in keeping the clubhouse open. You know, we were up there betting in the clubhouse, and they kept it open, and so we could bet the other tracks, you know, Oaklawn Park, et cetera, yeah, all day long. So I was thought that was a great decision. I just don't know if they consider the fact that the first leg of the pick three, you know, the second race was done, and then you don't run the third and the fourth, and they gave everybody their money back for the pick three, no matter what horse you had. You know, and I had that 16-1 shot that got nosed out, and I wish the outside of the track would have been a little more frozen, because the 7 would have never caught him at 2-1. But that would have been disappointing if you would have had like a 16-1 shot first leg of the pick three, and then all of a sudden just everybody gets your money back. You know, so that was my stake, and I know you take a risk at any time that can happen.
Yeah, you know, feel fortunate, Jim, that that wasn't that many years ago. If you lost the first leg of the pick three and they canceled the races, you also lost your bet. You know, so if they refunded their money to everybody, I guess they revised that rule. But, you know, hey, that's the neat thing about simulcasting. At least there's still an alternative, yet I'm not too naive to believe, and we know this as a fact, because all you have to do is look at the crowds that come in for live racing. 85% of those people there are there just, and they're mostly $2 bettors. They want to watch live racing. They don't follow, the national scene on an irregular basis. So for those folks, I really had a heartbeat sympathy for them. We offered exchanges for reserved seats for any day in the future at Fauner Park, refunds, you know, on the Fauner Park program. But there isn't a whole lot more that you can do. So, you know, the ill will that's created because you can't pull off the event certainly is far-reaching. You just do what you can do, and people almost come to expect it anymore. You know, we suffered from a lot of people not even showing up and canceling all of last weekend because, you know, just from the forecast. But it was miserable here. You know that.
Not this weekend, though, folks. Get out and enjoy some thoroughbred racing at Fauner Park today, 3 o'clock post time, tomorrow with the Run to Stakes. And as Steve said, a full card starts at 1:30. Steve-O, can't wait to get back over there, as always. Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, I got those 3 extra tickets. Let me know anytime, guys. Jim, look forward to seeing you. You're a great addition over there. You should be doing this full time, you know.
I don't have time. I got to be reading the form today.
Thanks,
Steve. Hey, I can't wait to see you at the races, guys. So long, everybody.
See you, buddy. It's time to head out to lunch. We've still got another segment here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you're heading out to lunch today or anytime, stop by Big Daddy's Deli on top of the hill in Kearney. 2 locations in Hastings at 610 East South Street and 801 West 2nd Street. Some of our bracket challenge winners will be getting combo meals from Big Daddy's Deli. You don't have to wait to be a winner. You're a winner when you walk in the door. They've got a bazillion sandwiches to choose from. You can make them up any way you want. Their friendly staff gets them in, out, whether you're eating there or getting them to go. Something for the whole family. Big Daddy's, where you can check out maybe today the crab and seafood. That's the old 17. How about the best combo with roast pork, pastrami, and summer sausage, or you throw out the old 43, the double spicy. Woo-hoo-hoo. Anything you want, Jimmy, it's there for you at Big Daddy's Deli. We'll be back and wrap things up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Well, what do I know? We're done? That was it? Man, we whipped through that show. Are you kidding me? I had all this other stuff to talk about.
Hey, you know, since it's April Fool's Day, I am going to come Monday. I
mean, awesome.
I'm going to be here on April Fool's Day.
Because your bracket's going to be better than mine from the rest of the way out.
Well, I think I got a chance to be better for a while. But you know what? I got about three games here. If it turns the other way, we won't even be talking about the bracket.
No doubt about it.
Won't be that much fun.
And, folks, it's a nice day today. It's Good Friday. Have a blessed Easter weekend. But the Lopers are at home today. The baseball team gets underway with Emporia State at 1 o'clock this afternoon up at Memorial Field. And the Hastings baseball team is at Doan today. You can hear that on 1230 AM KHAS. Hastings is at Concordia tomorrow. The Lopers have a single game with Emporia State tomorrow. Bring the kids up before the game. They've got an Easter egg hunt. And the game time is at 1. Then softball. Lopers are at Lindenwood today. Truman State tomorrow. Tri-City Storm, they're on the road at Waterloo tonight and at Des Moines tomorrow. Face-off 7:05, and you can hear Storm Hockey on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. And if you're headed to Lincoln, Husker volleyball team plays at home tomorrow against South Dakota in a spring game. Gets underway at 3 o'clock. And that's what's going on in the world of sports. Scott Jensen stepping down at Bellevue East as their girls basketball coach. He's going to be the assistant principal at Fremont Middle School. What this all means is he's got a hotshot daughter, Jess Shepherd, is going to Fremont. All of a sudden, Fremont girls basketball, which we had kind of heard over the state tournament with their dads getting some different jobs. Fremont girls basketball are going to immediately be a top 10 team next year in Class A. So I guess that's the way things roll. I know you're going to Fauna for part of the weekend. Anything else exciting going on?
I'm going to work the Ravana alumni basketball tournament tonight. You know, that alumni. And
don't
some
listen
of those
to some
kids.
Of those mouth. I mean, those great kids.
Hey, some of those guys played for me. I don't know. You know, what's sad now, I'm getting to that age now. Do guys play when they're 48 and 49 or not? If they do, they don't play very long. It's one game and out.
That's all they want. They don't want to win a lot. We just want to be there, see the friends, have fun, socialize. Oh, yeah, you young kids, you keep playing. You knock yourselves out.
What are you doing today, Doug?
It's time to head to the homeland after work today and spend Easter weekend with the family. Maybe lose a golf ball or two. We'll see.
Husker women?
Husker women, Sunday, right after Easter dinner. Set back. Watch them take on Duke. Hopefully can stay and watch the whole game and not one of those that, well, it's over at halftime. So, big game. I know Nebraska.
You don't think we'll beat them that bad, do you?
See, more points there for the James. Jimmy Langan. We'll have a great Easter weekend.
You too.
And to all the listeners, thanks so much. Best of luck on your brackets. If you're still towards the top, you must be doing something right. We want to thank Jan Levine of RotoWire talking fantasy baseball, Steve Anderson, track announcer from Fauner Park, and Sean Callahan from Husker Online. We're back Monday here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Yeah.